weird shit that nobody ever shows on the Giza Plateau, we'll start here. A good vantage point where we can see all of the subterranean infrastructure that connects directly into the Sphinx enclosure. Being escorted by the lead inspector of the Giza Plateau, who corroborated that there's an underground shaft leading from the Great Pyramid connecting into the back of the Sphinx enclosure. Talking amongst the group, and I was pointing out something that's unique about my hypothesis proposed to others out there in the alternative function of the pyramids community, where a lot of people focus only on the Great Pyramid, and the hypothesis is that it's a power plant to produce electricity, which I disagree with that hypothesis in that the pyramids harnessed nature's electricity. The power source of the Egyptian pyramids is connected to telluric currents coming from below the structure and lightning from above. As above, so below. The pyramids didn't need to create electricity when we have an abundant supply of naturally occurring electricity that can be harnessed, right? If you have the knowledge to do that. The product of the pyramids was chemicals, and the power source was nature's electricity from telluric currents and lightning. And we literally just picked up a piece of evidence of those lightning strikes. Again, we're talking about fulgurites and fused silica. This is literally a piece of fused silica from the exact same place where they obtained the fulgurite sample that has, it's basically microscopic particles of the same thing, tiny silica microspheres. All right, so we're talking again about the connection between the iron permeated core of the Great Pyramid, the iron veins or wires linking the various components of the Giza Plateau system. So these veins would have actually been underneath the black basalt paving. So they ran below the floor. And we're gonna follow yet another one of these veins straight in this direction. And where does it lead? Directly into another one of the boat pits. So let's follow this thing. So these iron permeated veins lead directly into these huge so-called boat pits. And we'll take a walk over here so you can see kind of another anomalous feature and some crazy looking erosions that also start to connect into the subterranean cave network below the Giza Plateau. So this system here is known as the so-called trial passages, which I really disagree with that nomenclature. I think it's actually a functional component of the Giza Plateau system. But check this out. So we've been talking about acids and acid mining. Let's check out that hole.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Oh, shit.
So this is just a part of the surface terminations of the tunnel and cave network that lead below the Giza Plateau. The Tomb of the Birds is this exact same type of tunnel and cave system, but a much larger example.
Right.
So these tunnels run all below the structures across the Giza Plateau. We're gonna see a whole bunch of these things as we continue. So you'll see it starts way deep in there, and look at this erosion. This is all acidic erosion. And it continues.
I mean, you can tell it's acidic.
Back in this direction. Look at all this. This is all acid erosion.
You can tell.
And you see this material in through here is iron. This was part of this iron vein network. And this tunnel continues further back in this direction. And directly behind you is the opening into this so-called trial passage. And we'll go on the other side so you can get a better look down inside of this system.
That's incredible. Wow.
Get a pole shovel. And you know what I just noticed down in here? So there's two different layers of strata of the Giza Plateau bedrock. So take a look at this layer here. So this is all that highly pneumolytic limestone and shell permeated bedrock. You can see all the shells in this layer. But look at how there's a distinct layer here on the top that's separated from this layer of bedrock. This is much denser. And that's how, you know, they're talking about the Mokattam Formation and the different strata of the Giza Plateau bedrock, where the top layer is the shittiest layer. And the further down you go, you get to much higher quality bedrock. So this is shitty. You wouldn't want to cut any blocks out of this material because it would all crumble.
Flaky and...
But the deeper you go,
it
gets much more solid. It's the first time I've noticed that in this area.
It's
a really obvious stratification of the geology. So another super critical area when it comes to the chemical analysis data that we have from the samples. So this, you'll see in through here, all of these are still iron veins. All of this material in through here, this is all that iron oxide and metal ore minerals. That reddish orange stuff is iron oxide. So this is the location where a sample was taken where the first silicate microsphere was discovered from a fulgurite. So again, fulgurites are called fossilized lightning, where high voltage electricity from a lightning strike hits the ground. It fuses the materials together and creates these little, basically like branch-like formations that are fused particles of silica and whatever else the bedrock material is made out of. And it creates these little tiny microscopic spherules of silica. So we've discovered literally fossilized lightning in the chemical analysis data from samples from this area. So this is the first area where those fulgurites and silicate microspheres were found in this area. So we have evidence of high voltage electric current transmission through this metallic ore vein network.
What did you find, Solit?
It was literally in the vein.
So, yeah, and he was just digging around. Look at this. It looks like fused, basically glass, fused silica.
Nice find, bro.
Yeah, that's a really nice piece.
Nice find.
Piece. conventional explanation for the satellite pyramids. First is that they are queens' pyramids, although no queen's burials have ever been found therein. You can see inside of this one that there is a sarcophagus-like shape that was excavated from the bedrock, but I absolutely do not think that was original part of the construction. According to Zahi Hawass, satellite pyramid G1A is the quote-unquote changing room for the pharaoh Khufu, where he goes down in his regular clothes, changes into his ceremonial clothes, and comes back out of the satellite pyramid. However, there's absolutely zero stairs to get down in this thing, and it's a super steep incline. So, again, according to Zahi Hawass himself, a changing room for the pharaoh Khufu, the function of the satellite pyramids according to the conventional narrative. Now here we also have some, check out this piece. This little channel here used to have a copper or metal inlay in it. You can see where there's mortar in here, where there was something stuck into this channel. And this is another anomalous, out of place artifact. So this is a junction piece for the conduit system. You can see where it led in this way and then connected into another piece. So it's a junction where two pieces of the conduit system were stuck together in this piece. But what was this originally and where was this housed originally? I have no idea. Deep vertical bedrock shafts, possibly the entry points to the subterranean network below Giza. So this is a small one. This one goes down probably at least 50 to 60 feet before you hit the rubble and the sand that's at the bottom of the pit. Most likely never was fully excavated, but you can also see that there's transverse connections. So you can see that there's a tunnel that goes in this direction that connects into the sister shaft. So over here below this rock, this is another shaft here. And there's a tunnel underneath that connects these two deep vertical bedrock shafts. A couple things to point out. The absence of tool marks. Look how the whole pit is completely eroded.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there's no chipping.
Okay.
There's no tools.
Second thing, see that vertical feature in the side here?
Yep.
There's also an identical feature in this side here.
On this side here.
So you have two bilateral vertical features that run down the length of the shaft. Next, look this way. You can see that there's another shaft, transverse, leading east to west. So we have this one that goes straight down into the bedrock, and then in this direction, it goes down this way. So all of these vertical shafts are connected by horizontal shafts. So it's an interconnected system that leads all the way down here toward the Sphinx, they're all over the place. I would easily say that in this area, on the eastern side of the Great Pyramid, there's got to be close to 50 of these things, just on this side of the Great Pyramid. At the top of every one of these structures, so these are large rectangular structures called mastabas, and this is conventionally known as the Eastern Cemetery, quote-unquote cemetery. But at the top of each one of these things, there's at least two, if not four, of these vertical pits that go straight down into the bedrock.
As Trevor Grassi told me when I interviewed him, you know, these shafts are all over the plateau going underneath the ground. Same as Jeffrey from the Land of Kem pointing out these shafts. And the Khafre Pyramid Project team have been discovering much larger voids, as you all know. And there could be entrances to that through these areas, through these temples that are just long forgotten, covered in dirt and sand. Little shaft, looks like an air shaft or something.
You can look down from the top if you want.
Yeah, I might just get a quick shot. Oh, wow. Yeah, there's one. Check this out. I'm not going to go down there because that's very steep and I will fall. You can see these shafts. Look at this.
So we're just going to head down to here, where you can actually see just about where there's an actual gated entranceway. In fact, there's a few of them here.
Oh yeah, there's a bunch down
here. Yeah, that's what I was looking at. False doors and real doors. Gated off. And so the traditional Egyptologist mainstream interpretation of all of these different doors is these are burial chambers for the people who built the pyramids. But this is not a very likely theory. There's a vast difference between the styles of entranceways. Some of them are very simple, some of them have inscriptions. Quite different in the way that they're presented. It does not appear to be tomb entrances, at least not from dynastic interpretations. If we come in here, we can actually have a look inside this one.
Entranceway locked off. And as you can see, there is a further subterranean passage near the end, and there's also one just there as well.
But of course, no entry. No entry. Hey, buddy.
I can't hurt you. I wish I had some food for you.
Yeah. They're pretty chill, the temple dogs.
You gonna poke your head in there?
No, put my head in.
Anything? Pop, pop.
No.
They're fucking bingo.
Yeah, and they're everywhere. They are literally everywhere. Oh.
What's up, puppy?
Is he down there?
Yeah, I see his eyes going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, bless him. Yeah, I get it, bro. It's hot out here. You enjoy it down there.
Spot. If you weren't there, I'd be shimmying down there.
Right.
locked doors as per usual. And here you've got some of the, now this is filled in. This would go very far down. These are scattered all over the plateau. This one's filled in. This one's filled in. And then round here, look at this place. Locked. This is quite an impressive looking one, actually. Look at the stonework. Very precise, very important looking, actually. Very important looking. But of course, it is locked. Off of the beaten path of the tourist trap. Because this is where you find the evidence of some suspicious activity. False door,
yeah,
just like you find in Peru and obviously across Egypt. Very interesting stonework for such a small little area tucked away. And there's another false door here.
Yeah, there's one up front right there too, just
weathered. Wow. So I wonder what this was. Could this be an entrance point? Could there be some buried subterranean entrance point here? It's very possible. Yeah, Ken was just saying it's like the Wild West out here. We're hydrated, we're keeping cool. And around here, you've got some very ancient parts of the Giza Plateau.
Yo, are we going inside this thing?
Yeah.
All right, let's go. There's an entrance.
Anything?
Walled off.
Walled off. Classic. Check this out, guys. Really old parts of the Giza Plateau. Really.
Door. False door.
Yep, I saw it. And then this down here. Check this out, bro. Yep. There's a gated off entrance, a real subterranean entrance down there. Inshallah. Oh, hello. Hello. Where do you go? Yo.
All of these inscriptions right here, bro.
Look at this. Now that's been blocked off. This has been blocked off. Subterranean entrance. Clearly, you were able to enter something at one point through here. And it's been blocked off and essentially just plugged with trash and rocks and mud. Because that
absolutely would have gone further than what we're able to see now.
This is Menkaure Pyramid. This is a very interesting part of the Giza Plateau Pyramid Complex, because what you have behind me is the very similar Cyclopean-style stone building that you find all across Peru. And as you'll know from my many videos pointing these things out, you have the stone nubs that are found all across the world, a global signature of megalithic stone building projects. We all know that there are theories around softening the stone. Just take a look at these casings, and then obviously the difference from the inner layer. This exterior layer is rose quartz granite, extremely hard, about 7 out of 10 on the measurement of hardness scale. Eerily reminiscent of places like Sacsayhuaman in Peru, where you just have that marshmallow-like fitting of very strangely shaped stones that just fit together in such a perfect sequence. And it's only this little bit of a layer that's left. So I'm just going to show you a few different examples of areas around here where you've got very tight fit and you've got these incredible stone nubs. Now, what do you think these nubs are? Because if it's softening the stone, then this is a very interesting area to try and examine the evidence for that, just like in Peru. So this is something, again, that you find in many megalithic sites, but also this is what you see when I was saying about Aswan Quarry. We've got unfinished obelisk and then these scoop marks that are coming out of it like this. And again, this is rose quartz granite. How are you scooping it? How are you scooping this incredibly hard material? No, it's not. You can't even see chisel marks. So these are actually, thanks for pointing this out, bro. This is really good examples of the infamous scoop marks that we do find across the world, but are very concentrated in Egypt, most notably on the Aswan quarry with the unfinished obelisk. Look at this. And again, this is incredibly hard stone. The idea that you could scoop out this granite with a copper tool is insane and completely ridiculous.
And to what point?
I mean, it's just incredibly tight fitted. Uneven stones mashed together in some form of weird precision. And there you go, like these big nubs, look at that.
But they're not big enough, you know what I'm saying? Like hoisting.
No, no, that's the thing. That's what I mean. Like none of these are actually like intuitive to an engineering or like a kind of like function that you would think for the building process. It seems like an after effect of the building process. That's what gets me. And then look at this, where you've got the curve, and it's just curving into these perfectly fitted stones. And then they just protrude out like this. Like, look at this. It's one of the most interesting parts of the Giza Plateau. So we just came across this little area where you've got a whole series of these cut and groove. Look at these. And you've got bridges between each element as if they were taking a chunk of granite out of these sections. This is rose quartz granite, okay? So 7, 7.5 out of 10 on the hardness scale. You can't attribute this to copper chisels, that's for sure. Now this is just shattered around the base of the Menkaure pyramid. We're the only ones filming this stuff on the plateau right now, and there's a whole bunch of tourists. Look at these little bridges in the middle, as if they were literally taking chunks out of the granite. This does not make sense with the traditional explanations of the dynastic Egyptian toolkit. You can find these things all over the plateau if you look hard enough. You don't even have to look that hard. It's just right in front of you. Look, there's more over here. This whole area is full of these cut and groove granite blocks.
This is a cross section where you can see them where the top broke off when it
yep.
fell.
Yep, yep. Another cut and groove down here, filled up with a bit of sand. Same thing, you can see the bridges where it was literally chunk by chunk by chunk, almost in a very precise, measured out way. Boom, another one. My goodness, this whole area is just full of these things.
And they're not artistic because these are the insides.
No, this is inside. This is function or using this material for another purpose and just taking it out of this rock, but
I think Menkaure might be one of the more interesting sites for this kind of stuff because there's a lot of destruction around the base of it. I'm not climbing, I'm walking on sand. This isn't climbing.
That's a perfect example though.
They don't want you seeing it.
Yeah, well I f***ing got it on 4K camera.
Commonly called the Mortuary Temple of Khufu, which they're all mortuary temples of Khufu. So you have this thing, and then we'll go down in here.
Of course.
You go first.
How do you think they did it?
Well, they excavated this thing in situ, directly from the bedrock. This
and
container
then built this around it.
Was not moved in and out. They carved the passageway. They excavated the chamber. And then they carved this thing directly from the bedrock in situ. Being able to get inside of it, carve out the lid, all from a solid piece of bedrock in here.
That's amazing.
In the chamber. So it was never moved in and out.
No.
It was literally carved from this whole piece of bedrock and still right here. Look how big this thing is.
It's insane.
So the question remains, how did they get the lid off of here?
Right.
Lift this thing up to be able to carve out the inside and the underside of the lid. Before they detached it from the top,
right,
you carved down to a length that includes
like about
this.
Yeah, right.
Then you split it.
Yeah.
And then have this that'll eventually sit down on top of
getting the inside. Must, I mean.
But it also looks like, you see down at the bottom, it's not attached to the bedrock at the bottom anymore either.
No.
So it's been detached.
Yeah.
So why go through all that extra effort of detaching it from the bedrock if it was just going to sit here, you know? You just keep it.
Finish off.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to, because, I mean, hypothetically, you could do it from the top down and then
just leave it, this. Fall, yeah, it'll be all seamless, you know?
To what point? To what point?
So that's why I like coming down in here. It's because one of those anomalies that a lot of people don't get to see this area, and there's not a real good rationale for doing it this way. The Osiris shaft starts with a transverse passage that leads below the causeway. This is part of that north-south passage that links into these subterranean chambers of the Osiris shaft. But yeah, it goes to the other side. That's actually the official opening. This is the northern entrance. But again, look at the lack of tool marks.
Yep.
And how significantly eroded this hole is. Show you here in just a moment, because this is a good vantage point where we can see all of the subterranean infrastructure that connects directly into the Sphinx enclosure. And we also have on camera from a previous tour where we were being escorted by the lead inspector of the Giza Plateau, who corroborated that there's an underground shaft leading from the Great Pyramid connecting into the back of the Sphinx enclosure. So you can see here, we just walked down the side of the causeway, leading from the central pyramid down to the Sphinx. And we saw all of those deep vertical bedrock shafts. There's also a horizontal shaft system that connects all of those vertical shafts through that horizontal shaft leading down into the Sphinx enclosure. It's all an interconnected system that converges down into the Sphinx enclosure. Weird shit that nobody ever shows on the Giza Plateau. We'll start here. Weird shit that nobody ever shows on the Giza Plateau. We'll start here.